Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. I was thinking about that conversation I had yesterday with Senator Tom Cotton and Tim Sheehy. And I had this realization because you listen to that conversation with Senator Tom Cotton and Tim Sheehy from yesterday. And what are they talking about? They're talking about policy. They're talking about how John Tester votes on issues. They're talking about actually relevant issues for the campaign, not engaging in personal attacks, not literally attacking John Tester based on his votes in Congress. And what do the Democrats have? Nothing but personal attacks at the presidential level, at the U.S. Senate race level. It's nothing but personal attacks, not a single bit of policy, not one bit of policy. And here, you know, Trump, it's amazing right now. The national conversation right now is about immigration. It's about the economy. It's about the border, which is fantastic. That's what the conversation should be about. Donald Trump is winning when you're talking about the economy, inflation, border security, illegal aliens, et cetera, et cetera. The Democrats don't want to have a campaign where we're talking about those issues, whether it's the U.S. Senate campaign here in Montana, whether it's the presidential campaign. No, they want to have a campaign about personal attacks and lies about the Republican candidates. Pretty amazing to see that stuff. There was a big story that, of course, the media is not picking up on. Jesse James Mullen, a Democrat candidate for Secretary of State, not a serious or credible candidate, doesn't have a chance or anything, but he is the Democrat nominee for Secretary of State. He sent out a tweet basically implying that the Montana Democrat Party is engaged in financial wrongdoing, and he resigned because he wants nothing to do with the ongoing financial wrongdoing of the Montana Democrat Party. And that's not news, according to the mainstream media in Montana. Jesse James Mullen tweeted out, quote, "I resigned from the Montana Democrat Party Executive Board recently due to a lack of detail, accountability, and internal transparency regarding the party budget and troubling comments made by paid party employees when bringing those concerns forward. I am not claiming the party is breaking the law or misallocating funding, but as a board member, I'm deeply uncomfortable with the lack of guardrails to prevent the misuse of donations to the Montana Democrat Party." So, folks, don't donate to the Montana Democrat Party because your donations are being misused, as stated by a sitting member of the Montana Democrat Party Executive Board. Of course, he's not a sitting member anymore. He just resigned, but he was when these alleged misuse of donations occurred. He says, "As a result, I'm also withdrawing from the Big Sky Victory Coordinated Campaign effective immediately. I strongly urge the party to allow an internal audit to address the issues, restore trust, and ensure the credibility of Democrat Party fundraising." Pretty amazing to see that an executive board member of the Montana Democrat Party resigning and accusing the Montana Democrat Party of financial wrongdoing. And I don't know, maybe the media's reporting on it this morning or late last night, but crazy story.
Securing America.
Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth spoke at an event in Arlington, Virginia Wednesday, discussing the issue of Army modernization. She says the biggest change in military operations is technology.
Unmanned aerial systems, counter-unmanned aerial systems, and electronic warfare.
Wormuth adds military leaders are learning in real time based on the war in Ukraine.
The role of drones, the role of capabilities to take down drones.
And she says it's not all about the actual weapons themselves.
We recognize that software is as important, if not potentially more important than hardware going forward.
She also notes even the most innocent items can be potentially used against our troops.
I don't wear one of those rings that tells you how poorly you're sleeping, but a lot of our soldiers do. And, you know, even little things like that can generate a signature.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from the lower to middle 80s. Clear and quiet tonight. Temperatures will fall off in the lower to middle 50s and then continue to warm up here further into Friday and the weekend. With sunshine Friday, mid to upper 80s, that will see more sunshine Saturday with upper 80s to around 90. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, if you miss even 1 second of Montana Talks and all the great content that we deliver, download the Montana Talks app, click the on-demand button, get the podcast and more.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we got PAC spending in the Montana Senate race of $44 million. We talked a bit about that story yesterday. Of course, the story does not mention John Tester over $50 million of his own money. I was thinking about this. Did I mention this on the radio at any point? You start to wonder, how is... is somebody like a John Tester able to not be corrupt? And think about the numbers we're talking about here. So as a U.S. senator, he votes on appropriation bills every year of $6 to $7 trillion. So he has power and control over how $6 to $7 trillion is spent every year. He has over $50 million in his campaign account. And yet his salary as a U.S. senator is $174,000 a year. And it's like there seems to be a disparity here between what the senators' salaries are and how much money they've got in their campaign account and how much they control in their positions of power. And when you've got a disparity of $174,000 salary, he's got $50 million plus in his campaign account, he's controlling $6 to $7 trillion in federal spending. That type of a disparity is a lot for human nature to overcome, because I'm sure a human nature is thinking to itself in that situation, well, this is sure weird. Why am I only getting paid $174,000 a year as a U.S. senator when I have control over, and I can raise and spend $50 million in a campaign, and I get to vote on $6 to $7 trillion in spending every year? Why do I only get paid $174,000? I have control over millions and trillions of dollars here. I don't know. I find it a little bit interesting. Of course, I've got a solution to that problem. Nobody wants to do my solution, which is massive, massive across-the-board cuts to federal spending, because this is what happens when you do that. When a U.S. senator no longer has voting power over the spending of $6 to $7 trillion, let's say the U.S. senator instead only has voting power over $1 trillion or $2 trillion, because I do think that the federal budget ought to be cut by 50%, 75%, whatever. So if you reduce the amount of money that the U.S. senator has power and control over, then that likewise reduces the amount of money that people are willing to spend to put somebody in that position of power. So then you start getting a smaller disparity between all of those three different numbers I just mentioned, which I think personally, when you look at human nature, I think the smaller the disparity between those numbers, the less likely you're going to have any kind of corruption going on behind the scenes. This is a hilarious story about the Green Party candidate for the U.S. Senate in Montana, Robert Barb. He is going to be on the ballot. So, folks, if you're talking to lefties out there, you're talking to Democrats, remind everybody, hey, John Tester's not progressive enough on the environment. You really ought to be voting for the Green Party, because the Democrats are openly using the Libertarian Party as their campaign strategy. You look at the polling lately for Tim Sheehy, he's been great. He's up 5, 6, 7 points in all the latest polling I've seen. I think he's doing great. I just really impressed with him. Every time I've seen him in person, just so impressed with him. But this hilarious thing is, like, when you show those polls to the Democrats, and to say, hey, look, she's up 6 points, she's up 7 points on Tester. The first thing the Democrats say, oh yeah, well, that poll doesn't count 8% going to the Libertarian. That's their response. And so they're counting on the Libertarian spoiler. That's their strategy. They are openly strategizing by trying to say, hey, let's have the Libertarian candidate steal some votes here and get some people to waste their votes on the Libertarian candidate, get some people to take their own votes and just throw them in the trash can by voting for the Libertarian candidate. That's the Democrat strategy. So I'm hoping that some of these Democrats, some of these left-wingers out there, throw their own votes in the trash can by voting for this Robert Barb, Green Party candidate. The Democrats actually sued to try to keep him off the ballot because guess what? That's what Democrats do. They just file lawsuits. It's just an amazing thing. They file so many lawsuits. Amazing. The judge actually denied the Democrat Party motion for a restraining order. District Court Judge Mike McMahon on Tuesday this week denied the state Democrat Party's attempt to block the Montana Secretary of State from certifying Robert Barb for the ballot, which means the Green Party will appear beside candidates Sid Daoud, a Libertarian, and Tim Sheehy and John Tester. So the Democrats are so mad about that. Oh, they don't want that Green Party on. And it's like, sorry, Democrats. It's called democracy. It's called democracy. You get to be on the ballot if you get the right number of signatures, and the Green Party did. We didn't get a chance to talk about this one yesterday. This one is actually a pretty good story. This is good news. The Supreme Court temporarily upheld some of the pro-housing, pro-construction laws passed by the Montana legislature. I actually got here with me an amicus brief that was filed with the Montana Supreme Court by the Institute for Justice. My name is on the appearance list of this amicus brief, but the Institute for Justice is a really good libertarian-leaning public interest law firm. They focus on things like private property rights, free speech, things like that. And so they got interested in this case because it's a matter of private property rights. Those laws simply said, hey, if you own a lot, you can build a duplex on it if you want. You can build an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit. You can build a mother-in-law suite. That's all those laws said. Hey, if you've got a single family lot, you can build a duplex. It's called private property rights, folks. It's a wonderful thing. And these zoning laws, interesting history there. We can talk about it.
Media Minutes with Howard Kurtz.
It's the story that dominated cable news yesterday afternoon. A high school shooting in Georgia, leaving 4 people dead, at least 9 others hospitalized. And a 14-year-old suspect, who I'm not going to name, is in custody after opening fire. Now, these stories tend to come and go very quickly. President Biden calling it another horrific reminder of how gun violence continues to tear our communities apart. But here's the thing. Unless there's even a greater casualty number, these stories tend to vanish as quickly as they are dominating the news at any particular time. That's because, according to the Washington Post, there have been 416 school shootings since Columbine back in 1999. And so everyone, including the media, are kind of inured to it, but that's a tragedy. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, as this year's wildfire season rages on, the agricultural community is once again helping their fellow egg producers in their time of need. Matt Pearson with the Producer Partnership says they'd like to help the counties affected by the devastation the Remington fire in Montana and Wyoming has caused by picking up animals from ranchers that have been injured from the effects of the fire.
You know, these guys in fires, these animals get injured, they get burned, and especially we see a lot of animals that get really bad feed after an event of this nature. We wanted to be here to offer up another solution for them. You know, they can donate the animal. We can bring them here. We'll come pick them up. They'll get a tax letter back. But we can then process them through our federally inspected plant and then bring that protein back into those hard-hit herds.
Now, the producer partnership accepts cows, sheep, goats, and even bison. And for more information, ranchers can visit producerpartnership.com. By the way, another great resource is the Montana Stock Growers Foundation, which is now accepting donations for its wildfire relief fund, which benefits livestock producers affected by this year's devastating wildfires. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers, Montana Livestock Auctions Cream of the Crop sale is this Friday, September 6th in Ramsey. And early consignments include a nice run of both calves and yearlings. So whether you still have cattle to market or you're in the market for some high-quality feeder cattle, Montana Livestock Auction is the place to be this Friday. To check out the Cream of the Crop consignments already on the books, visit MontanaLivestockAuction.com. Again, it's Montana Livestock Auction's Cream of the Crop sale this Friday, September 6th in Ramsey.
Hello, this is Bill Coffey, CEO of Stockman Bank. When you bank with Stockman, your money stays in Montana to work for you and your community. You will be working with your fellow Montanans who understand our unique way of life. From our executive leadership to our frontline employees, our team is almost 900 strong. We know firsthand what it's like to live and work in our great state because it's our home too. We are Montanans serving Montanans. Stockman Bank, member FDIC.
Well, today, the USDA's Economic Research Service will provide an updated 2024 net farm income forecast. And even with improvements in livestock margins, the August Ag Economists Monthly Monitor showed the majority of ag economists expect the further deterioration in crop prices to weigh on the overall net farm income picture and force the agency to revise their forecast lower. As the concerns about the ag economy pour in, there's no doubt the ag economic picture has certainly changed. And finally today, according to AgriPulse, the Federal Communications Commission is moving ahead with a $9 billion effort to expand 5G mobile broadband service in rural areas. The commission last week voted to roll out the first phase of the 5G Fund for Rural America, which will fund deployment of voice and 5G mobile broadband service infrastructure to unserved rural areas. While the fund has been in the progress for several years, efforts to spend the money were stalled by a lack of accurate data on 5G availability. No question, though, some very good news for all of Western Ag Network country. That's a look at your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. Open phones pretty much all 4 hours of the show, folks. If you guys want to help me out with some content here, 406-294-0970. 406-294-0970. So the Supreme Court had overturned the Mike Salvani, Gallatin County District Court Judge Mike Salvani, retired District Court Judge, who was, I guess, called into the case by the Supreme Court. And these two laws would require cities with 5,000 residents or more to allow duplex housing on any lot. The second bill would require cities to adopt regulations allowing more construction of accessory dwelling units that share parcels, which are secondary housing structures that share parcels with a single family home. So that's good news. There's also some news out there about the gubernatorial debate. There's going to be a gubernatorial debate here in Montana between Fussy Bussy, I guess. I don't know why they call him Fussy Bussy. I missed that one, but I like to call him Fussy Bussy just because it sounds good. I don't know the story behind that one. We'll have to get John Jackson and Aaron Flint to clarify where that one comes from. But apparently there is going to be a debate October 1st and October 7th now that Fussy Bussy has released his tax return showing himself making over $250,000 a year off of this quote-unquote consulting business or whatever this is, a.k.a. being paid by anti-gun groups out there. Anyway, here's the story. I meant to get to this yesterday. There's actually a blood shortage right now, and they're Vitalant in Billings is urging donors for National Blood Donation Day, which was actually yesterday amid a shortage. I wanted to throw that out there because I do believe in donating blood, and that's important, and there is a blood shortage. So you didn't have to do it yesterday. You can do it anytime. But wanted to at least mention that. I could not believe when I saw this story. There's still Democrats out there still care about COVID. Look at this. This story is from Bozeman, Montana. I think this is NBC News. Story by Michael Santoskoy from September 3rd. Gallatin County Health Department sees rise in COVID numbers. Sorry, folks over there in Bozeman. You guys are getting some rise in COVID numbers. We're not seeing that here in Billings, at least as far as I know. But you've got some rising COVID numbers. Everybody locked down. Better shut your business down. Better work from home. Better lock down and shut down. You've got rising COVID numbers. You better start freaking out. Gallatin County Health Department says 272 cases of COVID. That's a 7.5 increase from July of last year. Oh my gosh, guys, we've got rising COVID numbers in Bozeman. Oh no, oh no. All right, we don't care. We don't care about the rising COVID numbers in Bozeman. We're joking. We don't care about that. This Butte story, this is an interesting one. Are folks out there following this Butte story, this election story? I was started to watch the hearing by the Montana Legislative Special Interim Committee or whatever it is on election integrity. This is crazy what happened in Butte, and they did a recount. Apparently, the election officials there in Butte were good. They recognized, yeah, we've got a problem. We need to have a recount here. And so, actually, the clerk and recorder or the election administrator of Butte actually signed an affidavit and went to the court and said, yeah, we've got a discrepancy here. And they did a recount, and they confirmed the discrepancy. And what they found was that, so, and by the way, this all started from a private group that noticed a discrepancy in what numbers the Secretary of State had and what numbers the county had. They ended up finding out that there was a mistake made, and the votes were wrong. The vote numbers were wrong, and there was a mistake made. Big deal there, but we'll talk more about that right after one of the great callers, Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, David. So I've got a little bit of story time here. I traveled out of state for work last week and had some issues with my itinerary being jacked up due to some delays and things of that nature. And so my car rental was displaced. And so I had to rent from a different company that I don't normally rent from. And my only selection that I had was an EV car, a compact EV car. And the brand was a Polestar 2. So I've never heard of this brand. I'm not an aficionado of the EVs, the electric vehicles. You know, I bet you Ken in Great Falls could tell us all about the Polestar 2. But anyway, so I rent from this car company. I unplugged the car from the charger. It's at 100% the battery is. It has a tablet in the center console to drive it. Very, very distracting, in my opinion, to drive with. Not very user intuitive if you're not a technophile. I'm not. I prefer knobs and sliders and things of that nature. But the thing that I found was it drove like a go-kart. You were either on the accelerator and accelerating, or if you let off, it would automatically start braking. Your brake lights would come on, and it would automatically start braking if you took your foot off the accelerator.
Weird.
So that it could use regenerative braking to keep recharging the battery a little bit each time you stop.
Weird. I didn't know that.
Very herky jerky, very, very, you know, not smooth driving.
All right, Tim, you're going to, I got to put you on hold, Tim, if you would, please. Please hang with us. We got a break here. I want to hear the rest of this story. And I've also got some stories here related to the EV stuff, and particularly the Biden-Harris Tesla regime's regulations on diesel trucks.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg, a 56-year-old Flathead County man likely to face charges after an armed standoff where multiple shots were fired, but no one was hurt. Flathead County Sheriff's Office says the situation started when an early morning delivery driver thought he had been shot at and targeted by a laser sight at Sullivan Crossroads. Deputies found a second victim fleeing the home, saying he'd also been shot at. Officers say the suspect fired at a drone, the two Bear Air helicopter, and eventually the SWAT team was called. And although they couldn't talk the man out or subdue him with less lethal means, a canine finally brought the suspect down. Northwestern Energy is warning people to steer clear of door-to-door salesmen pushing solar power installations and implying that they represent the utility. Warning signs also include claims of no-cost installation or that Northwestern will pay for those installations. Meanwhile, Northwestern is reaching out to river users to find out what future recreational upgrades should be made along the Madison and the Missouri. Northwestern owns the Hebgen and Madison dams on the Madison and seven dams on the Missouri. The utility is partnering with the Missoula-Madison River Fund to host four meetings about public recreation along those corridors, starting on the 23rd in West Yellowstone with additional stops in Ennis, Helena, and Great Falls through mid-October. Details are on the Northwestern Energy website. A federal judge sends a Browning man to prison for decades after he was caught with hundreds of fentanyl pills on the reservation. Jason Laird has the details.
A Browning man, Rainforest River Charette, 41, admitted to trafficking fentanyl pills on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Officers found blue pills scattered in his bedroom during an arrest attempt. Charette pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute fentanyl, facing up to 20 years in prison, a $1 million fine, and supervised release. Chief U.S. District Judge Brian Morris will sentence him on January 8th of 2025. Law enforcement seized over 500 fentanyl pills, cash, and drug paraphernalia during the arrest. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Tim in Billings about his recent experience trying to rent a vehicle and being told you've got to use this EV. Tim, I think a lot of people are running into that when they need to rent a vehicle and they're basically being told, well, that all we've got is an EV. And then you were saying this is a weird one where it like automatically starts slowing down unless you have your foot on the brake. That sounds dangerous and really annoying.
I'm sure it's some setting that was within that tablet that my children would have been able to find that setting and change it in a heartbeat. But I'm just not that guy. I'm not a dig into the tablet type of guy. So I get this vehicle, it's at 100% charge. I drive it to the training location that I'm going to, and mind you, I'm in the Houston, Texas area. Warm, humid. I, of course, have the AC cranked because I love our high plains desert climate, and I don't care for the humidity. So I get to where I'm going, and it used about 15% of the battery to go about 25 miles, give or take a few, you know. And then my hotel back and forth between the training facility for a couple of days, I would use about 15% every day. So I was down about, I don't know. I think that afternoon I was sitting at about 50% because I had not made my return trip to my hotel. I searched on the tablet. I found an EV charging station. I made sure to find one that was a rapid charging station. I go and after some difficulties with the charging station, just because I've never used it before, and you know, figuring out which plug to use because there's a really large plug and then there's another plug that's not as large. I finally got my vehicle to charge. So after about a 40-minute wait, and some of that was delay was because of my ignorance on the equipment.
And you literally just have to sit there. You literally just have to sit there just doing nothing for 30 minutes, 40 minutes while your vehicle charges.
The vehicles around me were empty because the people had left and walked over to a shopping center.
Wow, okay.
Insanity. So all of a sudden the car says, charge complete, and the battery is at 85%. And I think to myself, why is it at 85%? Well, the charging station won't charge it to 100% because they don't want to overcharge the batteries and cause potential damage, so they limit the percentage that they will charge the battery to 85%. So then when I go to return the vehicle, and the only reason I topped it off is because I didn't want it to go into some sort of limp mode or something like that because I needed to head to the airport. I needed to leave for the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be messing with that at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to find an EV station, whatever.
Right.
I returned the vehicle, and it had about a 40% charge on it. Coincidentally, and how lucky for the rental car place who sets this stuff up, they get to charge me $1.29 per percentage that they recharge the vehicle to.
Wow.
So you cannot return it at 100%. You're going to get charged $1.29 per percentage, and you can't charge it to 100% using a rapid charge EV station. It is such a scam. And thank God we could only get 7 of those after spending $6 billion
right.
built by the government. What a fiasco. And there's just no demand for it. I mean,
no, there's not.
I don't know.
The EVs are piling up unsold on lots, which is why you're having to do all the manufacturers having to do massive price cuts. This is a boondoggle of the highest order, all of course pushed and forced on the manufacturers by the Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime.
Absolutely. When they start giving huge subsidies to something that's not taking off, that should make the taxpayer scratch their head and say, do we really need this? Is there demand for it? Should the government be funding it? No, right. No, and no on all counts.
Well, and it just...
If there's high demand, the private sector will meet that demand.
Right. No, I mean, that's the same on all of these issues. Doesn't matter what sort of the issue is. But it was like, it's like COVID-19. If COVID-19 was really going to kill you if you got it, we don't need a little local county health official to lock us down. We can voluntarily keep ourselves safe if it's really a dangerous thing. All of these government mandates, they're never necessary, because if it's something that's actually good, then you don't need the mandate.
Absolutely. When you mentioned in the previous segment about how the numbers were going up in Gallatin County, who in the world is going and getting tested except for people who crave having the thumb of the government on their head and they want to perpetuate the COVID hysteria more and more every day? If you get sick, what do you do? I'm sick. I'm going to stay at home.
Right.
Big deal. And now it's diminished in lethality it's more contagious and less lethal and, you know.
Isn't that hilarious?
How viruses work.
Isn't that hilarious, too, that the Montana mainstream media, they won't cover the story of John Tester-affiliated PACs offering bribes for people to publicly endorse Tester. They won't run a story on that, but they'll run a story about rising COVID cases in Bozeman in 2024. Absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, Tim, the other thing I was going to say about the EV experience was, to me, it sounds very stressful, especially because we all know that with batteries, you never know. Like, it could go from 40% and it could immediately drop to 20%, or it could be at, 20%, and then all of a sudden it's at zero, because sometimes batteries sort of work that way. And if you've got a an airport thing you got to get to at 3 a.m. in the morning, and you're sitting there at 40%, now you're stressed out trying to find a charger, or you choose not to find a charger, and now you're stressed out, can't sleep at night because you're not sure if you're going to have enough battery to get to the airport. I mean, that just sounds absolutely miserable and stressful to me.
It absolutely was. And that's just me. That's just my personality. Give me an old crap box with a heater and key and AC and put a tree on the tree on it, and I'll go find a gas station. And I'll just be happy as can be. But I was just dumbfounded that they charge you that much per percentage. And, you know, these things, like you said, it's all dependent on conditions, right? If you run the AC a little cooler and the fan a little higher, your battery diminishes faster. But there's an eco mode you can run to where it feels like the fan's kind of peeing warm water on you. You know, it's almost cooler than what the air outside is, almost. You know, you could choose not to have the radio on, and I didn't because I wasn't familiar with the area. I actually had the maps going the whole time. I'm sure the maps eat the battery. And then imagine it's 20 degrees below zero. I don't know if anybody out there has ever used cordless power tools in the wintertime, but right. This battery lasts about 15% of the charge, the duration that it normally would under a, you know, 70 degree day. It derates the battery so much, they're just not feasible in so many areas. Maybe in Houston they love them, but I was dumbfounded. It'd have been nice if I could have plugged it into my hotel, but it's not their responsibility to provide me with a gas station for my vehicle, right?
I mean, right.
That's not up to them. So it was just a fiasco, and I just, you know, if anybody's out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to try an EV, and just know that when you go to return it, you may as well just open your wallet and let the rental company just take all your cash, because that's what they're going to do. You cannot return it at 100%.
That's crazy.
It's impossible to return it at 100%.
Whereas it is possible to return a gas-powered vehicle with a full gas tank. Tim, really appreciate the phone call. Really, really good story. It kind of reminds me of the story that I have here about all of the trucking regulations that they've put on big rigs. And I was talking to some friends this past weekend about all of these new regulations, particularly surrounding DEF, which is diesel exhaust fluid. But that is the DEF regulations are kind of the least of what the Biden-Harris tester regime are trying to push with. They're wanting semis to be electric now. Of course, they're not building any electric power plants to power any of these things. But no, I mean, what I like too about Tim's call is the reference to, you know, I like knobs and switches. And honestly, I've never been a big vehicle person. I mean, I view vehicles as a tool. I don't really have never been huge on them. But now I'm starting to think, man, if I have to get another vehicle, I'm wanting a truck from like the 80s or the 90s, you know. And I was talking to other people about how some people were trying to tow with some of these new EV trucks or hybrid trucks with all the newfangled, you know, computers on them and all of that stuff. And apparently these things are terrible for towing anything. They'll literally put you into the ditch automatically because of various computer malfunctions and how you're towing and all these other things. So the Democrats have destroyed our vehicles, just pure and simple. It's as simple as that. The Democrats in government power forcing all these auto manufacturers and all these regulations have literally destroyed not only our semi trucks and big rigs and everything else, but actual vehicles. Unreal.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Trump Vance have done a combined 34 interviews since last month, compared to only 16 minutes and 29 seconds for Kamala Harris and 11 minutes for Tim Walz. And there's so much we do not know about this woman. And the one 16-minute interview on fake news CNN, we walk away from that interview. We have no idea that the woman who co-sponsored the Green New Deal in the U.S. Senate, that is on tape saying that she would abandon the filibuster to pass the $93 trillion Green New Deal, We don't know if she still stands by that. How do you call that journalism? That's not journalism.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, protect your home and family. Now, it's a responsibility you cannot take lightly. But starting with deadly force, that should not be your first option, especially given the serious mental, financial, legal consequences that can very well follow. You might want to look at non-lethal force. That's where Byrner comes in. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher designed by a group of common sense gun owners, and it's used for everyday Americans concerned about their personal safety and security. Now, the Byrner pistol launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds, so the Byrner launcher can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, that's enough time to ensure your family's safety. The Byrner launcher is legal in all 50 states. It can ship directly to your door. It's time to join the growing movement. And they always put safety first. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. Watch their videos, byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off. And make the smart choice for you and your family and your safety today.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Need help with your finances and thinking about hiring a financial planner for some guidance? Well, it's important to vet advisors to make sure their pay structure reflects your needs. If you're considering a particular one, you have to ask questions like how do they arrive at their fee and what motivates them to charge the way they do. Many advisors base their pay on a percentage of assets under management. If you want to hire an advisor for both financial planning and investment management, you might encounter a hybrid fee structure. That means you'll pay a percentage for portfolio management plus a flat or hourly rate for financial planning. In recent years, some advisors have adopted subscription pricing that offers tiers of ongoing service with different monthly or annual retainer fees. Other popular options include charging an hourly fee or flat per project fee. You need to figure out what type of financial advisor will offer the right service along with a fair price. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable, yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website, go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the story.
NAVAGE. Breathe easy. Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Open phones all show long this morning, 406-294-0970. I was talking about this Butte election recount. I guess they've recently disclosed actually what happened. They finally figured it out. Now, keep in mind, this whole recount thing in Butte happened because of a private group of citizens who care about election integrity comparing the actual vote numbers and ballot numbers with the Secretary of State versus the county. NBC News reports from yesterday. Maybe this was 2 days ago. State senators held their first special legislative hearing on Tuesday. And so there was the special legislative committee got to observe this recount. And the recount was ordered by a judge after a audit found over 1,000, ballot difference. The Butte election administrator says, hey, we figured out what happened. And she said happened there in Butte was one of the election workers plugged in a USB stick to the tabulator that should not have been plugged into it, and it contained the test data or test voting results data that they had used, I guess, to run tests before the election occurred. And so when they did the recount and they looked at these numbers really closely for each race, what they saw was, even though there was, I guess, 1,000 vote or over 1,000 sort of difference when you compared all the numbers, what it was exactly 33 votes difference in each individual race. I don't know how many races there are, or districts there are, or whatever, how that multiplies up to 1,000. But apparently the election administrator said, hey, we figured out what happened. All of those votes are a direct result of this test stick being plugged into the voting tabulator machines. And that's why, so pre-election, before this happened, we had run some tests and we just put in, you know, 33 votes for every candidate to run the test. And the test vote data was on this USB stick. And the election administrator says, oh, they should have never plugged that stick in. And then once they did plug that stick in, their only option was to completely erase everything and start over. But that didn't happen. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, that's good that you figured out what happened. But isn't that a little bit concerning that any random election worker in any random county can just plug in any random USB stick into the vote tabulators and throw off the results? And then maybe a private citizen discovers it, maybe not. How is it that nobody in the government discovered this? How is it that we already don't have some process in place where the Secretary of State numbers are compared with the county numbers? Anyway, that's what this legislative committee is working on fixing, is figuring out, hold on, how did this happen? How do we make sure, number one, this exact same thing doesn't happen again? But more importantly, how do we make sure that there's systems in place where these discrepancies are caught before right away and don't require a private citizen to figure this out and bring it to the government's attention? But also, what do we need to put in place here to make sure that there is no shenanigans? And okay, yeah, this one, it seems like, hey, we figured it out, folks. We figured it out. We got a vote discrepancy. We've got fraudulent, they're not fraudulent votes. They're illegal votes, though. They're improper votes. I mean, fraudulent votes implies there was some intention here, and it sounds to me like this was an innocent mistake. But clearly, you know, improper votes were counted and reported in actual election results. And yeah, maybe this time it was innocent. Maybe this time it was an innocent mistake. But the fact that that can happen and it's not automatically caught, to me, that's a big concern. And there it is, folks. So, we now have unrebutted proof, admitted proof, that we've got some problems on some of these things sometimes.